Welcome everybody to the final couple days of fall quarter. See, Bill, you forget the calendar wrong, man. I'm telling you.
The week, next 2 weeks, you'll be off.
Yeah, I hope everyone has a restful vacation, and thank you all for coming. Most of you guys done with your tests? Everything? Kind of? So, for the most part, good. Well, all right, well, I'm glad you're here in spite of everything, and again, we're continuing with this interesting story. We're actually starting chapter 6 today. In 1 Samuel, the aftermath of those poor Philistines, and not hemorrhoids, probably boils, but we'll say hemorrhoids because it makes the text a little more fun, if you want to, but boils is probably more accurate. They have to figure out what's their preparation age going to be. And here's where, in chapter 6, they get some wise advice. All right? So we're going to start with verse 1. Vayahi Aron Yahweh this day Pelishtim Shiva Chodashim. All right? And it came to pass that the ark of Yahweh... Well, I'm sorry, it's not it came to pass. It's actually a full of the verb in the sentence. And the ark of Yahweh was in the Sedeh, the field of the Philistines. Notice it's probably not best translated field, but territory. In the Philistine territory, Sedeh being a construct form from Sadeh, field, very common word, Sedeh. So it was in the Philistine territory, Shiva Chodashim, 4 7 months. Notice that here you have an accusative marking the extent of time. You don't have a preposition, and again, common Hebrew style we've seen, you would just add it in English. Okay. Verse 2. Vayikra'u pelishtim lakohanim velakosmim lemor manase la'aron Yahweh hodi'unu bames neshalchenu lemekomo. Okay. So this happened 7 months. It was in the territory 7 months, and so there's kind of a gap in the text here, right? Then the Philistines called to the Kohanim, to the priests, and to the Kosamim, to the diviners. These diviners are guys, you know, you see in the prophets especially, that people are warning against. The prophets are warning against these guys. So the prophets and the diviners. So they bring in their theologians, all right? They figure what's going on is a theological problem, all right? So they bring them in saying, Ma na'aseh, what should we do? Simple call, imperfect from Asa. What should we do about La, about the Ark of Yahweh? All right, notice then there's a pause there with Yahnach. What should we do about the Ark of Yahweh? Pause. Hodi'unu. What's the root?
Yada.
Good. From yada, conjugation. Hiphil. So notice the call means to know, so the hiphil, make known. Hiphil imperative. Show us, or you know, make known to us, ba-meh, with what or by what. This is just the preposition bait plus ma. Or maybe in English it'd just be better to say how, neshalchenu, how we should send it. This is a PL from shalak, PL imperfect, plus third masculine singular suffix. So show us how we should send it limekomo, to its place. How are we going to get it back there? Okay. Any questions about the first two verses?
So saying that it was in the field or the territory, we're assuming now it got sent out of the cities and it's just kind of wandering around in the rural highways and byways.
The
time it was in the cities.
Yeah, I think that it's. Remember, they had that thing. Let's send it, and I can't remember now where they sent it.
They went to one city,
and then they went to Gath, and then the boil started happening. So either it was going from city to city, or it was remaining in one city 7 months.
At the end of that section, though, didn't they put it on a cart and they just kind of sent it
let's
out?
Let's see.
And it
was sent the ark, and they sent and called and blah blah blah, and so that it might return to. It doesn't really say, does it? City. It just says that the city was hard hit, right? So I'm not sure what was happening to it in the in-between time. It was just there, all right? Verse 3. Vayomru Im meshalchim et aron Elohe Yisrael, al teshalchu oto rekam, ki hashev tashivu lo asham. Az teirachu vet noda lakem lama lo tasur yado mikem. Here's the advice. So they said, if, now notice what form is this, meshalchim. A participle from shalach. No, it's a PL. They're sticking with the PL form. There's no subject, so you have to understand the subject. And actually, if you look in the apparatus, a number of manuscripts plus the Septuagint and other versions have atem added. So it's obvious from the context that these guys are addressing the other Philistines. So they said, and so most translations will actually add that, if you are going to send the Ark of the God of Israel, okay, so if you're going to get rid of the Ark of the God of Israel, al teshalchu, do not, notice the al, do not send oto, do not send it reikam, empty-handed, or maybe we'd say, do not send it without anything. Notice that this form, reikam, is, there's a substantive reik, which means vanity or emptiness. Notice that am ending makes it an adverb. Emptily. Sometimes you would translate this in vain, although that's not the context here. It's not in vain. It means send it away empty-handed. You do that am, remember you put that am on a number of things. Chain means grace. Chinam, freely. Yom, day. Yomam, daily. So reek, vanity. Rikam, in vain or vainly. But here, empty, without anything. Okay? Ki hashev tashivu. Okay, now just looking at that construction, you know what kind of form hashev is. Because there's a finite verb preceded, you can bet it's a what? Infinitive. Hifil, infinitive absolute from shu. See? So that it's, and he's probably, the speakers are expressing their conviction, strong conviction as to the truthfulness of what they say. In other words, they're urgent. So don't send, so notice it says, don't send it without anything. But you must certainly return to him, probably referring to God, Yahweh. But you must certainly return to him an asham. Alright, notice that this is usually the word in like Leviticus to mean a guilt offering or a trespass offering. Here it's probably to be translated something like a compensation. So don't send it away without it. You must certainly send to him an asham, a compensation. Okay? Now notice you stop there with the atnak, so notice how we're reading the text. Then, teirafu, you will be healed. What's the conjugation of this word? Teirafu. You will be healed. Notice it's from rafa, and it is a nifal. Rafa means to heal. The kamatz under the resh and the seire under the prefix tells you that this is a nifal form. Then you will be healed. Nifal. Okay, now, venoda, what's the conjugation? Kal, piel, pual, hitpael, or hafal. Which one is it? It's the nifal. It's always the one I leave out, you guys. It's the same thing. Nifal from yada. Then, and it will be known. And it will be known to you. Okay. Lama, why his hand does not turn away from you. Okay, so notice they say this. You know, if you're going to send it, put a recompense in there. Okay? Then you will be healed and it will be known to you why his hand was on you. In other words, if you do this, you're going to be healed. And when you're healed, then you know that, yes, there is this theological problem. You're having a problem with Yahweh. And you'll know why he would not return, because he expects some recompense for the injury done him, you know, by taking his ark and that kind of stuff. Notice there's a whole bunch of theological presuppositions, a whole kind of worldview that these priests and diviners have in their minds that kind of enable this statement and telling them what to do. Okay, does everybody kind of see that? What's going on here? Any questions about anything through verse 3? All right, verse 4. Next question. Vayomru. Ma ha'asham asher nashiv lo. Vayomru. Mispar sarne pelishtim. This is logical. Chamisha of lezahav. Vachamisha ak berezahav. Ki magefa achat lekulam ule sarne kem. Okay. And they said, what is the recompense which we should return to him? Notice that nashiv is another hip deal from shu. Imperfect, first common plural. So what is the recompense which we should return to him? Well, and they said, mispar. You can figure this out. This is a noun. Safar means to count. You add a mem to it, it makes a noun. The number of the sarne pelishtim. The number of the lords of the Philistines. Okay? So notice here, it's just, again, you don't have a preposition like kaf, but you would say something like this. According to the number of Philistines, chamisha, five ofle zahav, five golden boils. Five, now they'll explain more what they mean, but here it sounds really strange. They really mean make images of the boils. Okay, now you'll see it later. They actually add that word in the text. So five boils of gold. Notice the relationship between the construct form and the genitive zahav. Boils made of gold, okay, is how you would say it in longhand English. So five boils made of gold and chamisha, five akbere, five mice of gold. Five mice made out of gold. Okay? Ki, for magefa achat, for one plague concerns kulam, all of them, and concerns sarne kem, and concerns your lords. Okay, so there's one plague to both the people and the lords. Notice that there's a textual variant instead of kulam, they have kul kem, right? You. So most translations actually go with the Greek there. There is one plague for you and for the Lord. Alright? But it's just referring to two groups of people. That's why they have to make five mice and five boils because of the Lords and the Philistines. One plague is over all of them. Apparently that's their reasoning. Okay? Questions on four?
So what do the mice have to do with the boils?
Well, we'll find out. Actually, it does tell us. But I mean, it goes to some statement, I don't know, someone made last week that I guess it's in the commentaries. A lot of people think that what was happening was something like bubonic plague, which is spread, you know, which has that kind of, and spread through rodents, and they seem to recognize some connection between them, evidently. Here you don't know. I mean, it's kind of assumed. You know, this again, there's a whole world that they're assuming that we are not quite sure about. They do talk about a little more in a few verses, though. Okay? Okay, verse 5. Ba'asitem salmei ofo lekem vetzalmei ak berekem ha mashitim et ha'aret unetatem le lohe Yisrael kavod u la yakel et yado me alekem u me al elohekem u me al artzekem. Okay. And so now it explains a little more. That is, so I think I'm taking verse 5 in opposition to verse 4, kind of explaining further. So it says, you know, in verse 5, according to the number of the leaders of the Philistines, five golden boils and five mice, for the plague is on them and you. Okay, now it says, that is, you should make, asitem, a simple call, vav plus perfect from asa. That is, you should make zalmei, here it is, images of the ofalekem. That you should make images of your boils and images of your mice. Now here, hamashkitim. What form is that mashkitim? Just kind of guessing, just looking at it, where it is, what's in front of it. Notice that it probably modifies mice, right? Kind of figure this out. It's from shachat, and it's a hifil participle. The mashkit tells you that, The een tells you it's plural. The he tells you, oh, this is supposed to be used as a modifier of the previous noun. So make images of your mice, those which are destroying the land. So evidently, there was an outbreak in the mouse population, and they figured that there's a connection between the disease and the mice. See? Okay. And you shall give to the God of Israel kavod. You shall give glory or honor to the God of Israel. Notice the atnak under kavod. Pause there, because he's changing thoughts. Perhaps yakel. Okay, here's a double ein word from kalal. Kalal. This is a hifil imperfect. Hifil imperfect from kalal. The kal imperfect would be yay kal, to be light, to be trivial. Here it would be to make light or to lighten. Notice it takes a direct object. So perhaps he will lighten his hand from upon you and from upon your gods and from upon your lands. Okay. Questions on verse 5. Okay. Verse 6. Lama tekabdu et levav kem kaasher kibdu mitzrayim uparo et libam halo kaasher hit aleil bahem but vayeshalchum vayeleku. Okay. This is a very interesting warning. The Lama, he asks this rhetorical question. So why tekabdu? That's a PL from kavad. Everybody see that? Kavad means to be heavy. PL to make heavy. In this context, to harden. Why should you harden your heart? Kasher. As kibdu. As Egypt and Pharaoh hardened their heart. Everybody see that? Okay. Hello. Stop there. Notice the atnak. It really helps you get the thoughts here. Because now they're switching to a question. Hello. Was it not kasher when hit alel? This is kind of a strange word. Alal means to glean in the call or to do. So, but in the hit pael, it means to treat in a reckless way or to actually play a dirty trick on someone. So, was it not when he, the subject is God, when he had dealt ruthlessly by him with them? So, hit halel plus the preposition bait means to deal wantonly with or to deal rashly with or to play a dirty trick on. See? So, was it not when he had played a dirty trick on them, let's do that just for fun, that Yeshalchum, that they sent them, that Egypt sent them, Vayeleku, and so they went from Halak. So notice he's kind of recapping previous experience that other nations have had with this God and with Israel. So he's kind of like saying, look, if you harden your hearts, it's going to end up this way anyway, so you better just bite the bullet and make the asham and get the thing out of there. Kind of interesting, right? I think it's a fascinating thing to what their thinking is. Any questions about anything in verse 6?
Yes, so how much of this should we consider actually sort of their thinking as a pagan nation? You know, I mean, one would seem superficially that it's sort of our God's against their God, and our mm-hmm. God lost. And mm-hmm. So why wouldn't they just simply be worshiping Yahweh?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Versus, hey, he won this round, we'll win next round. Or how much of this is sort of a commentary added by the mm-hmm. writer? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you see in this event very clearly the strength of Yahweh and how other nations tremble before him. But you also see maybe it was your option too, this thinking, okay, Yahweh won this round, but maybe we'll win the next one. And it's hard to know kind of what's going on in their worldview, in their view of God and gods and their nature of their relationship with their God. versus Dowling.
How about the third alternative, kind of a theological commentary by the writer who's sort of
kind of
inferring that they
saying,
were thinking
yeah.
that way,
yeah.
but, you know, maybe
no, that
sure.
could be.
I mean,
it's hard to know. Yeah, it's hard to know. But again, it shows us how God always kind of leans towards his people, you know, in spite of all the things that happen. And remember, this whole event happened because he was punishing Eli, too. Yeah. I don't know, it's really interesting. Good, any other questions on 6? Verse 7. Va'ata kehu va'asu agalachat asha echat u'shite parota lota sher lo ala alehim ol va'asar tem et ha'parot ba'agala va'hashevotem b'nehem me'acharehem ha'baita. Okay. And so, v'ata, and therefore, kehu, what's the root? Good, lakach. Take, and asu, another imperative, so they're both imperative. Take and make. Okay? Or maybe that kehu is almost as an exclamatory. Something like, go and make an agal achadasha, a cart achadasha, a new cart. So don't get a dirty, broken down one. Get a new one. Echat, one. Okay, so cart, a new one, one. So get a new, one new cart. Ushite parot, and two cows, para, and two cows, alot. This is from the root ul, the feminine participle call. Just like kum, the participle is kam, kamim, kamot. This would be ul, and now alot, because it means to give suck, so there's no masculine, I don't think. And two cows, which are milking, okay? In other words, they're lactating cows. Which not has gone upon them a yoke. Ol is yoke. Which upon them, notice this relative clause, asher, with the resumptive pronoun, alehem, which has not gone upon them. So in English we'd say, upon which a yoke has not gone. Okay? Va asar tem. And connect them or bind them from asar, bind them, namely the cows, bind the cows ba'agala onto the cart. Okay? Ba'hashi botem, and return. That's from Shuv. Notice the hifil kind of we've had all along here. And return b'nehem. Return their young'uns. Return their calves from after them. So, you know, first of all, I don't know, you guys live on a farm. If a cow is not milked, they start getting real restless, right? And second of all, if they got young ones that want to eat and want to follow them, to keep them from following them is going to do something to the mother cows. In other words, the mother cow ain't going to stick around. I guess that's why they take the calf in to the house. So notice, take them from after them into the house. All right? All right? Ulekach tem, verse 8, and you will take et aron Yahweh, the ark of the Lord, unatatem, and you will put, notice natan and sin can be used interchangeably, and that's what you have here, and you will put it el ha'agala, on the cart. Okay, notice el for all, again you see that exchange quite frequently. Ve'et, and the kalei ha'zahav, and the objects of gold, okay, which hashe botem, which you return, again from Shu, which you return to him as an asham. And the object of gold which you return to him as a recompense, tasimu, from sum, notice sim and natan again, you will put ba in the argaz, that's just a word for chest. You will put them in a chest, mit zido, at its side, zayda's side. So namely at the side of the ark. Veshalachtem, and you will send it, vehalach, so that it might go. So I don't know, you know, you take the shotgun and shoot so that they'll start going, or you'll start beating them, or whatever it takes to get the cows moving, that's what you're supposed to do. All right? Any questions up through that point?
There seems to be no indication here of their sort of mechanism of transport or sort of lifting the ark or moving the ark or anything.
No.
We know that people have died by touching the ark, right?
Right.
So there are no handling instructions here.
Right.
So you kind of wonder, was it because they didn't know and so God didn't punish them?
They didn't know, or, you know, God's kind of doing what he wants here.
Yeah.
He's already punishing them with the boils and stuff.
Yeah.
So, he just chooses not to do that for whatever his reasoning. I guess they were in enough fear of him already, as bad as it was going to get for him. All right. Good. Let's stop here. And we'll take this story up. Actually, we got 2 weeks here, right? So we will see you in 2 weeks. And have a good break. And
we're at verse 9.
We'll continue. So we're going to start with verse 9. Yeah, if you want to read ahead. See what happens to those poor Philistines and the cows.